The Enron scandal 2.5 years ago touched off a long string of corporate fraud cases. This year, some of the executives involved in those scandals are finally coming to trial. A jury convicted Martha Stewart last month of lying to investigators about a stock sale. Two other big cases have ended in mistrials. As NPR's Jim Zaroli reports, those cases highlight the difficulties prosecutors face when they seek criminal charges in corporate fraud cases.
Big trials have a knack for turning nobodies into media stars. In the 6-month trial of Tyco chairman Dennis Kozlowski and chief financial officer Mark Swores, the big media get turned out to be a member of the jury. 79-year-old Ruth Jordan refused to convict the defendants, and the huge controversy ultimately led to a mistrial. In an interview with Dan Rather on 60 Minutes 2, scheduled to air this evening, Jordan makes clear she doesn't regret her intransigence.
You believe or you don't believe that you would have voted guilty on any count?
I don't think I would have voted guilty on any count.
You don't think you could have gotten there?
I don't think so.
The government says it will retry the Tyco defendants. Still, the outcome is a big setback. Dan Richmond of Fordham University Law School is a former prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York.
Every couple years, something happens that makes us wonder whether it's a good idea to be using jurors altogether.
The Tyco trial got underway last September. That same day, former investment banker Frank Quattrone of Credit Suisse First Boston also went on trial on obstruction of justice charges. Quattrone's case ended in a hung jury. Meanwhile, defendants in some of the biggest fraud cases like WorldCom and Enron are yet to stand trial. Dan Richmond concedes that the mistrials and the slow pace of justice may raise questions in the public's mind about how well the system is working. But he says it's too soon to jump to conclusions.
Particularly the accounting fraud cases are spectacularly complex. There often are guilty pleas by lower executives that don't get very much media attention, so we don't have the kind of spectacular trials that really come way at the end of long investigations.
Richmond says, for instance, the Enron prosecution is actually going well, despite Lee Fasto's plea change today. U.S. officials have been steadily obtaining guilty pleas from executives at higher and higher levels of responsibility. Still, NYU Law School professor Jennifer Arlen says the mistrials do suggest a problem. She says many recent fraud cases turn on the defendant's intent. Arlen says prosecutors had no trouble proving that Kozlowski and Swores received free loans or expensive shower curtains.
The issue was mental states, or what did they know? Did they have permission? Things that are much harder to get at. And it's much easier to create reasonable doubt in those cases.
And that's especially true, she says, when a defendant is rich and can hire top lawyers and expert witnesses. Arlen believes that because of that, it might be a mistake to pursue criminal charges against many white-collar defendants. Instead, she says these cases should often be handled as civil matters, which can result in hefty fines. That may not satisfy the public, since no one will go to jail, but she says because the burden of proof is lower in civil cases, the government will have more success pursuing the guilty.
I do favor sending white-collar criminals to jail. But I think that more important than that is making sure that the probability of some sort of sanction is very high.
The alternative, she says, can be what happened in the Tyco case last week, a high-profile criminal case that flames out. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.